want to try and teach you a little bit about a guy called Cornelius, chapter 10, verse 1, Acts 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. This was not a musical group, and that's not mocking. Mario Favari, you know him? Did you know he used to be in the Royal Australian Army Band? Yes. You knew that? He used to come to our church in Townsville when he was in the RAR band. But this is not the sort of band it's talking about. He was a soldier, and he was a band in a band, but it was a different band. This band here was a Roman band. This was a Roman army, and Cornelius was the centurion over that band called the Italian Band. Soldiers who were Romans, and Cornelius himself was a Roman. He was a centurion, which meant he was over 100 men. Now, this guy didn't get there by social promotion. He got there, he worked his way to get to the place where he was. And for you young fellas, he was no sissy. He was no, what did you call him this morning, a wuss? He was no wuss. He was no sissy. He was a man's man. And girls, this man was a man that was not afraid. When you look at this man, you'll find out he puts many Christians to shame as a lost man. As a religious man, he puts many Christians to shame. And you look here, it says he was a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Verse 2, watch this. He was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. This was a religious man that was lost. But I tell you what, you look at his life here, he was a devout man. He was devout in so much that as a pagan Roman, he'd moved from emperor worship to the worship of the true and living God. He'd abandoned the paganism of the Roman religion, and incidentally, they didn't kick him out, they kept him. Why did they keep him? He must have been a good man, he must have been a good soldier, and so they hung on to him. You never get rid of a good man, you hang on to him. I saw a preacher up there in Maryland one day, and I said, you know, this young fellow you've got an assistant, mate, don't let him go. I said, he is a great fellow. I said, he will be a blessing. When you're gone, he can take over the church. I said, so don't let him loose. Hang on to him as long as you can. So Cornelius was a Roman. Remember, he may have been a pagan to start off with, but I tell you what, under the influence of the Jewish people that he ruled over, and he ruled over Jews all over the place. How do we know that? The scripture says so. And you know something? He began to listen. He began to observe. He began to see. And next thing you know, he's abandoned Roman paganism. He's believing in the true and living God, and we know that he is a devout man as his belief in God. Not only that, it says one that feared God. He's a man that fears the true and living God, and not only that, it says he feared God with all his house. That means he raised his kids to fear God. We're not going to follow Roman paganism. We're not going to follow emperor worship. We're going to believe in the true and living God that the Jewish people believe in. So he's on a journey, and little do we realize here that that journey is going to finish up with him coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at this here, it shows you it doesn't matter how good you are, you cannot get to heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's testimony about this man. He was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house and gave much alms to the people. He was not only a man that was devout and feared God, raised his family to fear God, but he's a man of compassion. Could you imagine him taking those soldiers, marching down the street and seeing those beggars on the side of the street say, hang on, fellas, pull up here. Let's go over here. He'd take out his wallet and he'd say, friend, let me help you out. Roman soldiers didn't do that. Get out of the road, you know, scum. He was not like that. He was different. You see, he'd come to know the true and living God, but he had not yet come to know his son. So he was a man that was on a journey. He was on a spiritual journey. And so he gave much alms to the people. Not only that, he prayed to God always. You know, we've got people in our town here and down in Mackay. They fear God. They believe in God. They go to church. They worship God. But they're as lost as this man. But you look at this man, even in his religious but lost condition, he puts many born-again believers to shame. How could he do that? Well, says he prays to God always. Do we pray to God always? Do we give much alms to the people? Do we have a care and a compassion for people like this man? Well, in verse 3, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? He knew God was dealing with him. And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now, that's very rare to see a lost man's prayer come up as a memorial before God. This word here, memorial, the Greek word here, is used two other times in the New Testament, and it's in reference to where the woman takes the Lord Jesus Christ and she ministers to him and she anoints him for his death and burial and resurrection. And you know what? The disciples say, what a waste, you know. And what did Jesus say? Leave her alone. She had done what she could. And of course, the Bible says, Jesus said, and everywhere the gospel goes, the story will be told of what that woman did for me as a memorial of her. Same word. You know, God took a look at this man. He said, what a shame for this man to die and go to hell. That's the Hong version, incidentally. So the Lord spoke to this man, sent an angel and spoke to this man, thy prayers and thine alms have come up for a memorial before God. You know, God's never told me my giving, my compassion, and my prayer life has been taken notice of by God. How about you? Well, anyway, that's what the Lord told this man. Verse 5 says, and now, not next week, now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. So he's getting instructions from God. And see, God didn't say, now, angel, tell this man how to be saved. Tell him the gospel. Tell him the plan of salvation. See, angels don't do the plan of salvation. It's people like you and me. God uses human beings to be a witness, to tell people how to be saved. And so this man here, he's listening up. He's getting instructions. Send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Well, he's listening up. He's paying attention. And so as we look at this man here, he's on track to get saved. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, watch this, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. He calls two servants. They would have been possibly Roman servants, maybe Jewish, but more likely Roman servants. But he certainly called a Roman soldier who waited on him continually. He calls them in. In verse 8, and he declared all these things unto them, and he sent them to Joppa. We won't have time tonight to get into the whole chapter of chapter 10 or into chapter 11, but you know what? He calls these men and he says, you know what? God has told me that I'm going to die and go to hell except I hear the gospel. How do we know that? Well, we read a little bit later on, you'll find out why. So he says to these men, you got to go down to Joppa, you got to find Simon Peter, he's there in the house of Simon the tanner, bring him up here, because, you know, I've got to hear what he's got to say. And so he tells these men, as he sends them out, that God has told him that he's lost, he needs to get saved. You say you're reading into that. Well, when we get down here a little bit later on, you'll see. Well, down here it says, and when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And so while they're on their journey, it says, on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up onto the housetop, upon the housetop, to pray about the sixth hour. God was working in Cornelius' life. God is working in Peter's life. So these men are on their journey down to Caesarea. And incidentally, Philip the evangelist was down there in Caesarea. So the gospel was already being preached in Caesarea. But God sends Simon Peter up here, and so Peter's up on the roof, and incidentally, Peter has a habit of telling God no. Know that? Well, let's not do that, he says, you know, to Jesus, and Jesus said, get thou behind me, Satan. God says three times to Peter, arise, Peter, slay and eat. Arise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, no way, nothing unclean has ever passed my lips. There's no way I'm going to kill any of this. So God says, what I've cleansed, don't call common, you know, or unclean. Just get to it. And so we realize God is showing Peter here, teaching Peter a lesson, because there's three people coming down on a journey from Caesarea down to Joppa, and they're going to approach Peter. They're going to knock on that door, And the Spirit of God is working in Peter's heart and in Peter's life here, trying to teach him something. And so as you look down here, this net is taken up towards heaven. And then, of course, Peter is told that there's going to be three men knocking on that door. Verse 17. Now, Peter doubted in himself. While Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, look at verse 28. He said unto them, you know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come in unto one or come unto one of another nation. But God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. What was the lesson God was trying to teach Peter about these unclean animals? It says down here, you know, he doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. By the time these men come, he knows what that vision means because we read it there in verse 28. We read that he says, God has been showing me that you don't call any man common unclean. And so as we read down here, Peter doubted what this vision meant, but it says here, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. They're outside the gate, standing ready to knock on the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. So they're at the right place, knocking on the right door. And of course, while Peter thought on these things, thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. And he says, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Well, if you have a look at verse 17, it says Cornelius sent them. In verse 20, God says, I have sent them. So, you know, Cornelius was obedient. God said, send men to Joppa. So what did Cornelius do? He sent those men to Joppa. He was obedient to what God had told him to do. And so God said, you know, these men have come down, and I'm the one who sent them. Don't question these men. He says, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Brother, when he opens that door, he's going to get the shock of his life. Verse 20, 21. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause? Wherefore ye are come? Here we got some Roman servants and we've got a Roman soldier at the door, and God says, you're to go with them. Don't even think about it. Just do it. Go. You know, be obedient. Don't even doubt what this is all about. Just be obedient. So God has been teaching Peter a lesson out of this. And so these people relate to the Apostle Peter what this is all about. And so it says down here, what is the cause? Why are you come? In verse 22, they said, Cornelius, the centurion, not just a centurion, the centurion, says a just man. What else do we know about Cornelius? He was a just man and one that feareth God. This man had a testimony of fearing God even amongst Roman soldiers and his servants. He had turned from his paganism and he had embraced the God of heaven and of good report, watch this, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews. This man was famous amongst the Jews. I mean, all over the Roman Empire, they knew about this centurion called Cornelius. And they said that he was a man that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the... How many Roman centurions had a good report among the Jews? I mean, the Jews hated the Romans hated the Jews, and they didn't get along. But here was a Roman centurion that impressed these people because he was different. He was not like the rest. He'd already embraced the God of heaven, but he didn't know his son. And so as you look down here, the Apostle Peter is sort of shocked about all of this. And so why have you come here? And they said, well, you know, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned. There's the key word there, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. I like that word, warned. That warning was, you need to hear the gospel. You need to send men down there. You need to have Peter come up here. You need to listen to what he's got to say. And so we know here that he was an obedient man. Straight away he sent those men down to Joppa, and so he gets busy. What's he doing in the meantime while these fellas are away? Well, you'll have to wait and see. So these guys have shared with Peter. Well, he was warned by God, by an angel, to send for thee. So I don't know how far they went into this. Well, maybe God told them to tell him that, you know, he's lost, he's going to go to hell, except he knows Jesus Christ. We can't read that into it. But anyway, they said, you know, he was warned by God. Cornelius confided in these three men what they were going down to Joppa for. They were going to go down there, not just to call some fellow to come up there, but they were coming on a mission to get Peter to come up because Cornelius was warned by God that he needed to hear words from Peter. Verse 23, and he called them, then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So Peter was going to go on this journey with these three men, but he took six brethren with him. And on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, watch this, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. You know what Cornelius was doing while those three fellows were down there in Caesarea, down in Joppa, rounding up Peter? He was out there telling his friends, you know, God told me I'm lost and I need to be saved. I need to hear the gospel. And that's reading into it myself. And so he's out there telling his friends and his kinsmen, you know, there's a preacher coming up to tell me how to get saved. If you want to get in on this, come along and hear the gospel for yourself. Now you read this into this because this is what happened. He was out telling his friends, and Peter got a shock when Peter got there because he thought he's going to deal with one man. But when he gets there, there's a whole heap of people there. You know, even this man puts many of us to shame in inviting people along to meetings. He says, you know, you want to hear the gospel? You want to know how to get saved? You want to know how to get to heaven? You better be there Sunday, because there's a preacher going to be there and he's going to be telling people how to get saved and get to heaven. Cornelius waited for them, and he called together his kinsmen and near friends. He had shared with them that there was a preacher coming and they were going to hear the word of God. Verse 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up. See that? He grabbed him. Jews don't handle Gentiles. Jews don't handle Romans. But Peter reached down and dragged him up. And so he said, you know something? You shouldn't be down there because I'm just a man like you. He says, stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. You know what? He didn't have one man to deal with. He had a congregation of lost people. He was a lost man that invited lost people to come along and get in on the program. He got his friends and his kinsmen to come along. They too would get the blessing of hearing the gospel. So have a look at this man's life. He was a man that feared God, prayed to God always, a man of compassion, gave much, and God took notice of this man. He was a man that if you would like, went out of his way to try and help the Jews rather than persecute them. And he was famous throughout all the nations of the Jews. And you know what? Probably the Jews would say, you know, if we get a centurion to come to our part of the country, I hope it's Cornelius. Yeah, he's a good bloke. I mean, he's a good fella. He'll take care of us. He'll look after us. He won't persecute us like the others. So he had a great testimony even as a lost man because of his character. But you know something else? Good character won't get you into heaven. Good works won't get you into heaven. We've got people all over our country think if you give, you go to heaven. If you're a good person in character, God's going to accept you. But listen, I don't know too many people that could outclass Cornelius for his character, his giving, his fear of God, and his compassion. And yet, he was lost on his way to a Christless eternity. And so God told him, he said, you need to send down to Joppa. You need to get Simon Peter up here and he'll tell you words whereby you must be saved. Look over at chapter 11, verse 14. Well, look at verse 13. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Isn't that something? So it was a household salvation. And so it was an area God had told Peter, you need to get up to Caesarea and tell that man how to be saved. So Cornelius was there waiting. The crowd was there waiting. How many people have you invited to these meetings this weekend? Don't put up your hand. How many people have you invited this year to come along to church? I mean, I bumped into some people from Townsville Baptist Church yesterday over at the markets. These guys were coming out. I was just about finished. I was just about ready to come home. And these two guys come strutting up, and they had three little boys with them. And I wanted to wash the little boy's feet. I said, there, right there is clean water. So they washed his feet. And so I gave him a tract. They said, oh, which church do you go to? I said, this is from Melinda. This is from Grace Baptist Church, Melinda. And they said, oh, great. I said, so where do you blokes go to church? Oh, we go to the Baptist Church in Townsville. I said, oh, really? They said, yeah. Oh, they said, the Northern Beaches. I said, oh, okay. So I said, so are you guys going to be in church tomorrow? They said, well, no. I said, hang on a minute. What do you mean, no? I said, it's the Lord's Day. So what are you going to do? Oh, mate, we're two or three are gathered together. I said, well, hang on a minute. Shouldn't say that in front of the kids, but no. I said, you know, church, why don't you come along to Grace Baptist Church and see what we're all about? And then as I was walking up the road with them, they said, what's the difference between the Baptist Union and the Independent Baptist Church? Because I explained to them, well, we were segregated, non-union, non-denominational. I tried to spell it out to them, and they said, oh. And so I said, come along. I said, we'll make you welcome. I said, and so one of those guys, he said to me, like some of the people in this church have said this week, so what are you preaching on? So I told him, yes, he might say, well, I said, I'm preaching Sunday morning, and they didn't believe what he said. But, you know, I said to him, I said, do you know this fella down in Townsville? Do you know this fella down in Townsville? Do you know this fella? Yeah. But you know something? It's amazing how they take the word of God and take it so lightly, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I was waiting for them to walk through that door this morning. Brother Les said there's somebody out there in a car and they're driving a certain sort of vehicle. And I said, well, I don't know who that is. I was expecting somebody else. But I walked out there and it wasn't anybody I invited. It was somebody else altogether. I was expecting that fella from Cairns to come up here. He didn't come. I was expecting those fellas from the Baptist Church in Townsville to come, and they didn't come, so I was a bit disappointed. So anyway, Cornelius went and invited his friends and his kinsmen, and you know what? They got to hear the gospel. It's great. If you look down here into verse 28, so when Peter comes in verse 27, he found many that were come together, and listen what Peter says unto him in verse 28. You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come under one of another nation. He says, but God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now he's going to go back to Jerusalem and tell them what's been going on. He's going to tell them how God worked in his heart and how he took the gospel to Cornelius. And they're going to say, what are you doing in the place with Gentiles? You know? Well, Peter had already learned his lesson up on the rooftop when God said, you know, arise, Peter, slay and eat. Three times, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And so as you read down here, verse 29, when Peter was called, he says, therefore came I unto thee without gainsaying. Why? Because God said, you just get going. Don't question these people. Just do it. Don't doubt it. Because I'm the one who sent him. Well, Cornelius was the one who sent him. And God was the one who sent him. He said, so I came without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent you have sent for me. He knew what intent. Because they had already told him that this man had had a warning from God. And he tells us over here as he relates to the church in Jerusalem in Acts 11:14, he came to tell them words whereby they would be saved. Well, as you read down through all of this, Cornelius relates unto him, well, you know, 4 days ago, see how many days have passed? It's taken 4 days to get the message down to Peter, get them to come back. But I tell you what, Cornelius was waiting there with the congregation, and he says, I was fasting and so forth and so on. He relates exactly what had happened. And you know something, verse 33, he says in verse 34, send therefore to Joppa. And verse 33 said, immediately therefore I sent to thee. How obedient is this lost man? God spoke, and he said, immediately, I did what God said. And he said, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, watch this. Are we all here present before God? Here's a man that acknowledges the presence of God right where he was. He says, we all are here present before God, watch this, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Hey, they were prepared. They'd opened their hearts and their minds to receive the word of God. And Cornelius is the one, I believe, who prepared them You better get ready for this. We're going to get a message that's going to tell us how to be saved. And of course, verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And so when you read through this, Peter preaches the gospel. The Spirit of God falls on the crowd. Verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. You know something? Cornelius was saved. His family was saved. People were saved that day because, number one, Peter was obedient to do what God told him to do. Cornelius was obedient to do what God had told him to do. He sent down to Joppa, and Simon Peter came up, preached the gospel, and he had a crowd to preach to instead of one man, and God honored that, and people got saved. And I tell you what, they followed the Lord in believers' baptism. And you can follow right through in chapter 11. Peter goes back to Jerusalem and tells them what had happened there, and they didn't like what had happened there, you know. Some people don't like it when they see people get saved. I remember when I got saved, I was saved out of Roman Catholicism, and I sort of got disowned by my parents and by my brothers and sisters and brothers and sisters-in-law and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, it all came good. Dad never got saved. He died when he was 58. I never got to win my sister to the Lord. She died when she was 25. But, you know, one of my brothers came to know the Lord. And bit by bit, I've had the opportunity to come back and get into a right relationship with my brother and sisters and so forth, or brother and sisters-in-law. I even married one of my brother's daughters, so I thank the Lord for that. But, you know, you just can't preach the gospel to my older brother. He needs to get saved. My younger brother got saved back in the 1980s, and I thank God for that. But we look at Cornelius here. He reminds me of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a teacher. He knew the Word of God. He taught all about the Messiah, taught all about the things of God. But he came to Jesus by night there in John chapter 3. And he came to Jesus by night. I said to the kids in school, I wonder why he came to Jesus by night. And the kids said, he didn't want anybody to find out he'd been to see Jesus. He was embarrassed, you know. He didn't want anybody to find out. But here was a man that was religious. He worshipped God. He taught the Word of God, but he didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to Jesus and said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. So evidently some of those religious teachers like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea and a few more had put their heads together. You know what? They had seen what Jesus was doing. And like some of their pupils that had been taught by them, some of the pupils were saying to their teachers, no doubt, don't you realize that that's the Messiah you've been teaching us about? I mean, they were able to join the dots. And so Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, a religious man, worshipped God, prayed to God always, read his Bible, taught the Bible. Jesus said, you need to be born again. Nicodemus got saved. Boy, I tell you what, there's two fellas I think about, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. They went into Pontius Pilate and they craved the body of Jesus. Can we take his body off the cross? And Pontius Pilate was surprised that he might have even been dead already. And so when he had found out that he was dead, you read it for yourself, he turned the body over to him. Said, yeah, you can have his body. They took him down from the cross and put him in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. See, these religious men came to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what's got to happen with religious people. They've got to come to know Christ or they're doomed. Well, anyway, here, let me give you two more illustrations here. Jesus went down to Samaria in John chapter 4, and the disciples were scratching their head. Why would he go down to Samaria? You know, there was a woman there that needed Christ. And I mean, when they sat down and started talking together, she started to say how religious she was. And so, you know, our fathers taught us that, you know, when Messiah cometh, he'll do this and he'll do that. And Jesus showed her that, hey, you believe in, you know not what. And you know, that's the case with so many people who are religious, who believe in God, go to church, read their Bible and even pray. They don't even know what they believe. They don't even know who they believe in. And that's why we've got to tell them all about the truth. You know something? That woman came to know Christ. She went into the town and told the men. And many people believed on Christ because of her testimony. You and I have got to tell them. You know, it's amazing how people get saved through our testimony. So don't be ashamed. Don't make apologies for God. Be a witness for God and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll amaze you how many people will sit up and listen. Lastly, Acts chapter 8, we won't turn there. There's this guy, he's driven all the way up from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. He's come up there for to worship, the Bible says in Acts 8. And I mean, he's the treasurer of Ethiopia. And so he leaves and he's heading back to Ethiopia, and I don't know whether he was traveling through the sand on that chariot or whether he was riding on a Roman road. But anyway, nevertheless, as he's traveling along in this chariot, the Spirit of God sends Philip to him, and he hears this Ethiopian treasurer reading from Isaiah 53. How do we know that? Read Acts 8. As this man's riding along, he's reading Isaiah 53. And Philip said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should show me?" Philip got up into the chariot and preached unto him Jesus. See, he'd been all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. Now he's heading back. He's been reading the Word of God. He's a praying man. He's a worshiping man. But he's as lost as a goose in a snowstorm. He had to hear about Jesus in order to get saved. And so as they went on their way, the Bible says he preached unto him Jesus. You know, that treasurer got saved. You know, how many people do you know that are religious? They go to church, they read their Bible, they pray. But you ask them, but if you died tonight, where would you go? I hope I'd go to heaven. And it's all based upon their character and their good works. That's why we need to get really serious with them or say, "Friend, let me show you some religious people in the Bible that needed to get saved." And there's religious people in Malanda, in Mackay, Townsville, all over Australia that need to get saved. And I mean, the night I got saved, the missionary said to me, he said, "Where'd you go if you died tonight?" I said, "Hell." I said, "Do you want to go to hell?" I said, "Well, no." And we went aside and he said, "So do you believe in God?" I said, "Yep." "Do you believe in heaven?" "Yep." "Believe in hell?" "Yep." "Believe in Jesus?" "Yep." He said, "You believe Jesus died for your sins?" I said, "Yes." But then I said, "But what does that mean?" I didn't know what that meant. Nobody had ever taught me. I was raised in Catholicism. So he took the Word of God, took me down the Romans road and said, "Jesus Christ died for you because you are a sinner." "Are you a sinner?" "Yes, I'm a sinner." He said, "He took your place. He took your punishment. He took your judgment for you so you don't have to take that judgment and go to hell. And he will save you if you recognize you're a sinner and embrace him as a savior and ask him to forgive you, and he'll do it." And I did it that night, September the 10th, 1973. And you know what? I've never regretted getting saved. Lord, bless the remainder of our night. Speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.